Dave Barry is our guest. The name of his new book is Class Clown, The Memoirs of a Professional Wiseass, How I Went 77 Years Without Growing Up. It's a great pleasure to welcome the New York Times bestselling author of so many incredible novels and collections of columns and just one of the funniest humans alive, Dave Barry. Good morning. How are you?
I'm good, Joe. Thanks for having me on.
It's really nice to have you on the show. At what point did you realize, oh my God, you can make a living being a wise ass?
Actually, it took a while. If you had asked me, like when I was in high school or college, even, what would you like to do for a living? I would have said I would like to be a wise ass because that's what I was best at. But it never occurred to me that there was any actual way to do that. You know, So I got a job at a newspaper when I got out of college, and then I got went through a couple of jobs that were all related to writing. But it wasn't until I was in my 30s, like mid-30s, really, that door began to open that I could just do this. I could write humor columns and do nothing else. Up to then, I had done it, but it was always on the side. It was like I was doing something else to make a living and writing humor columns because I liked to, because it was fun. So I was quite surprised when it actually happened to me in my mid-30s. Wait, I don't have to really do anything important ever again? I don't have to be productive? I can just make crap up and get paid for it? Yes.
Where did the writing come in the sense of that was the outlet, in the sense of that's different from being a class clown and being the direct source and what everyone sees and realize what that person is doing. You were writing it at that point, and there's a difference there, right? Of actually taking those humorous ideas and conveying them with the written word.
Yeah, it was a long time between those. I mean, it was much easier to just, the class clown part is like, you think of funny stuff,
right?
And you say it, and then that's it, it's over. Then over, really years of, converting that to written words that people would actually be amused by, that was a long time. I wrote probably, thousands of columns before they were really at the point where I could get national attention for them. So it's probably a good thing that I didn't, succeed right away. I mean, I was the process of learning how to execute, how to make the humor, palatable and saleable in written form took a long time. And it's kind of tedious. I tell everybody, like, if you were to watch me, my daily existence, you would not find it amusing. It's like me sitting in front of a computer most of the time going, well, this sucks. I'm no good at this. I can't do this. This is terrible. I'm bad, to this day. And I'm now very old. That's how I kind of look at it every day.
Does it come from the same place, though, of being a class clown, of seeing something and just pointing it out? Is basically the same act of reading the paper or watching what's going on in the world and commenting on it and writing a column about it?
Yeah, it's the same thing. You observe a lot. You've got to find things that people can relate to, or something that is just like so bizarre that people got to know this. I did a lot of, like, once I got made it as a syndicated columnist, I did a lot of kind of like performance humor. For example, I once set fire to a pair of underpants with a Barbie doll on the David Letterman show.
Right.
That was my job. I was actually paid to do that. I picked my son up at middle school in the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile. These are not normal things to do, but so there, it was kind of a balance. Sometimes it was just like going to the grocery store. What's funny about that? And then that's a lot of what a humor writer does, take everyday stuff. But in my case, it was also sometimes going out there and creating some humorous situation or stirring things up.
Right.
Like, the time I offended all of the Neil Diamond fans in the world, then writing about it.
Of course, your coverage of the Garbage Barge, that got you a Pulitzer Prize. Who was more surprised, you or your employers?
I was absolutely shocked that I won a Pulitzer Prize. That's not false modesty, because the the category is called distinguished commentary, and distinguished is a word no one has ever applied to the kind of writing that I do, you know. So I did not know that I was going to win a Pulitzer Prize, and I was not expecting it. You're right. I wrote about the Long Island garbage barge, which was back in the 80s, this very famous garbage barge that became sort of a symbol of New York City's municipal ineptitude. It was a gigantic barge covered with garbage, you know, that had been generated by New Yorkers that New York didn't have room for. And it was trying to, you know, ship it to, it was supposed to go to someplace in the Mid-South, like the Carolinas, but they wouldn't take it because it had medical waste or something. So this barge kind of went on this odyssey, went all the way down to like Venezuela. Nobody would take it. And it became national, international news. People were following it in the news. Where's the barge now? It actually got on the Phil Donahue show. It was a famous garbage barge. And that was one of the things I wrote about. I wrote a column or an essay kind of mocking New York City that won me a Pulitzer Prize. And I think partly because the Pulitzer Prize judging is done in New York City in winter. And the judges are kind of sick of New York. And so they were happy to see something that made fun of it.
Dave Barry is our guest. The name of the book is Class Clown, The Memoirs of a Professional Wiseass. As far as the class clown part and growing up, you write about your parents in the book, and you talk about how wonderful they are. But there is great sadness there in your childhood and what you went through.
Yeah, both my parents. The beginning of the book is kind of more serious than in most anything I've ever written for a book that's basically about being funny. But I wanted to talk about where it came from, where the humor came from in my life, and it was my parents. I had very funny parents. My dad was a Presbyterian minister, but he was a funny guy and a smart, funny guy. Loved humor. My mom, though, was the real source of my humor. She was a very edgy person. This is a housewife in the 50s. But she just was very different from the other moms, from the other housewives in this little suburban town, Armonk, New York. And nothing was off limits to her. I mean, you made fun of everything. She didn't take anything seriously. But there's a real dark side to your humor. So in the first chapter of the book, I talk about my dad's struggles with ultimately alcoholism, which he overcame. He became a reformed alcoholic and a very active in AA, and he was a wonderful guy, and he turned a bad thing in his life into a good thing for himself and for many other people. My mom struggled all her life with depression, ultimately lost that struggle, but she gave me this gift, which ultimately made my whole life a better thing, just because she was so good at finding the humor in any situation, even though she herself struggled a lot. So a lot of the book is the beginning of the book anyway, is about those two people who are both flawed and yet both were like instant. They made my life a wonderful life. They were great parents despite their problems.
Did you have to deal with that of those really those twin very, very disturbing issues to be able to move on and really to find the humor and to clear your head of that as much as that's possible?
It really wasn't like that. You could look, it's easy to look at it that way. Well, he had a rough childhood because his parents were troubled, but actually I had a wonderful childhood. My parents made his or her issues a burden for me or my brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
We were lucky in that respect. They were great people. But I really felt I could have just glossed over that and just started the book like, I'm a funny guy. Here's me being funny. But I really wanted to make a tribute to them. You know, they were the reason I was funny. But I didn't feel like I could do it by just saying my parents were funny. I just felt like I needed to say they were funny and they had real issues. They had real troubles in their lives. And this is how they dealt with those troubles. So kind of just felt like I needed that as a tribute to them.
Yeah. And as you said, as a context, because then your trouble is that grief and then getting over that and finding your own humor.
Yeah. And I do talk about some things in my life that were rough for me. That I had to deal with and get past. I've been told more than once when I've written a serious piece, you know, I like it when you write serious things. That's good. Why don't you do more serious things? And my reaction is always like, usually because I've written a serious thing because that something horrible happened that I need to get kind of process and get past it. And I don't want to have serious, I don't want bad things to happen. So I don't want to keep writing serious things. But yeah, you do sort of have to get through it.
Do you miss the regular column?
Well, I didn't for, I wrote, you know, I stopped writing my weekly column in 2005. I'd written it for a little bit, like 25 years. Felt that was enough, stopped. And then earlier this year, I started, I don't know if you know what Substack is,
yes,
but it's like
sure.
An internet thing where you can yep. write. And I started Substack in January of this year, and it's kind of like my column. It's just a lot more liberating than that. I mean, it's like I don't have to do there's no deadline, and there's no time, there's no word limit, and there's no editor. So I just have a lot more freedom. So I've been doing that for okay, 5-6 months now, and it's done very well, and I'm kind of really enjoying it. I feel like I'm writing a column again, but in a more free-form way. So I guess I must have missed it some because I'm back to doing it.
Are you going to write another novel, or is that still in the works?
I don't have one in the works now. I don't know. You never know. I mean, I'm 311 years old, so I don't know how much more books I have in me. But maybe one of these days. Maybe one of these days.
So 77 becomes, what, 311 years old?
Well, you know, I'm a professional. I exaggerate. I am about to turn 78, but you know what they say, 78 is the new 73.
There you go. So, Dave Barry is our guest. The name of the new book, Class Clown, The Memoirs of a Professional Wise Ass. The book is published by Simon & Schuster. Dave Barry, you're the absolute best. I thank you so much for sharing with us this morning.
Joe, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me on again.
Be well. Thank you so much. Again, Dave Barry is our guest. The name of the book is Class Clown. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.